Ladies and gentlemen, if I can get your attention, I will now call this meeting of the Board of Supervisors of Fluvana County to order. This is a reorder of the meeting that we started on the 4th. I will now ask that we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Just a few things before we get started, folks. I wanted to go through real quick and say, we have comment cards out back. Please, if you have not filled one out, if you filled one out last Wednesday, do not fill out another one. We want to know your feelings. Please fill those out. If you would like to speak, please fill that out. Mark that you would like to speak and make sure you get it to one of our staff members outside so they can get you up here and get you on the list. Okay? Anything I forgot, Mr. Dahl?
The only other thing I would say, just a reminder, if you can squeeze in, I know there's lots of folks standing. I know there's some open seats in here, please. So
I know over in this area, I see some open seats. So if you'd like to have a seat, there's some right here in the middle up front. All right. We'll now open our first round of public comments. Anyone wish to address the board should come to the podium, state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 3 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Folks, we're going to put a list up. As you see your name, please come down. The other thing I want to ask is this. If you would look at the back of your agenda, in the back of your agenda, we have our rules for our public hearing. It will not be a back and forth between supervisors and speakers. We're here to listen to your thoughts, not you listen to ours. The second thing is, in our rules, we ask that we refrain from applause or any other gesture when somebody speaks, whether it's your opinion or whether it's not. We're going to ask that you respectfully sit here and listen to each other, and that's why we live in America, is so that each one of us can have our right to say what we want to. Just please keep it restrained. All right, anything else, Mr. Payne? All righty. Now, having said that, I can't see. Who is our first speaker?
Down there?
Oh, I'm sorry, I got it in front of me. Justin Flevarakis. Hang on a second, Justin. So that I would like to please have two people waiting in line, so Matthew Reed and Samuel Thompson Jr. Please make your way down to this side and just wait your turn. Thank you, Justin.
Do I need a little more?
Name and address, please.
It's in the first part of my speech. Is that fine?
Okay, yep.
My name is Justin Flevarakis. I live at 13 Jefferson Drive in Palmyra. I'm 24 years old. I'm a homeowner. I'm a business owner. I'm a husband. I'm a law-abiding citizen and a taxpayer. If these laws pass, I'll also be a felon. I, who have never been arrested, will also become a felon overnight for something I purchased legally. I will potentially be jailed for something for possessing a metal or plastic box with a spring inside of it because it holds more than 10 rounds of ammo, or simply because the state thinks my choice of firearm is scary. I'm a firm believer that the citizens are not to be outarmed by the government. Whatever they can have, we should be able to have. Is it not alarming that the government will send people with 30-round magazines to try and take my 30-round magazines? If I refuse to abide by these laws, I will become a felon on July 1st, 2020. I stand before you and ask you to adopt a resolution to make Fluvana County a Second Amendment sanctuary to protect myself and other residents of Fluvana. Just last week, we heard a story of a father rushing home to his two daughters and wife as someone attempted to break into their home. We heard a woman tell the heart-wrenching story about being held hostage in her own home right here in Fluvana. Without guns, they may have not been here to tell their story and stand beside myself and others to fight for their God-given right of self-protection. Law-abiding citizens are the last to be considered and the first to be punished. Thomas Jefferson once said, if a law is unjust, a man is not only right to disobey it, he's obligated to do so. With that being said, I leave you all with this. Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, lived at Monticello, just 30 minutes from here. James Madison, who wrote the Bill of Rights, lived at Montpelier, 45 minutes from here. These rights we are fighting for today were born here, and I refuse to let them die here. If the Second Amendment is to be tarnished here, it will spread to other states. As an American, or better yet, as a patriot, I refuse to see my state turn into the very thing we started a revolution over. I love my country. I love my state. I love my fellow Americans, male and female, black and white, Democrat and Republican, those who are God-fearing and those who are atheists. Our state seal says, Sic Semper Tyrannis. It means thus always the tyrants, saying that we will take a stand against tyranny. I stand here to say to any and all tyrant who attempts to infringe on our rights, as Patrick Henry famously said in 1775 at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, and I quote, "It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of change and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death."
Amen. All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your enthusiasm. Please hold on to the applause, and I need to say two things before you get started. I forgot to say this. Please silence your cell phone. I think I heard two of them go off while we were in here, while Mr. Blevirakis was speaking. Secondly, at the end of your 3 minutes, you will hear a little buzzer type deal. And when you hear that, please wrap up what you're saying. Okay? Sorry to take your time. I'm not taking your time. But folks, please, like I said, let us get through this. Yes.
Yes, sir. Hello. My name is Matthew Reed, and I currently am a resident of Albemarle County. I came to Fluvanna County this evening to support the surrounding communities and countrymen in this time of unconstitutional mayhem. I am in disbelief that the county I reside in lacks the willingness to allow its residents to speak out against the infantile stupidity the Democrats are trying to subject the morally competent Virginia law-abiding citizens to. So today, I thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to speak. I do not want to waste time with explaining our right to bear arms. I'm standing here to speak out against what these so-called politicians are trying to inflict upon us. I stand in front of you to speak up for us as American citizens who have become tired of our current government factions that continuously take from us and want to eradicate us of our constitutional rights. They want to rewrite the laws that our founding fathers created to ensure we thrive a strong United Nation. We are currently taxed insistently for our hard work, our want for a better life, and for everyday necessities we need. Soon these Democrats, liberal tyrants, will restrict us from rights, our money, and our freedom until there is nothing left but a fascist government. We are living in a time where no logic no longer exists. We must tread lightly to appease people's feelings and walk on eggshells in our own country to avoid conflict, then we're against fleeing their country. Our youth have become blinded by social media and fake news, believing lies and manipulations that are constantly flashing across the television, phones, and internet, when our very rights and freedoms are being blindly taken away by the click of a button. They want to propose a bill preventing us law-abiding citizens from even being able to train and or teach our families, friends, and loved ones and neighbors how to effectively and efficiently defend our ground as a militia is completely absurd. How are we supposed to protect this nation if we're being told we are not allowed to protect them rightfully ours? We must stand together and resist these changes. We must stand for our rights, for our freedoms, and for everything as we are as a nation. I want to end with several quotes from our founding fathers and true leaders of this great nation left us, reminders of how this great country should be ran. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Constitution, "All power is inherited in the people. It is their right and their duty to be armed at all times." He also wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and we are endowed by the Creator with unalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those unalienable rights cannot be taken away nor denied." Samuel Adams, "If you love wealth greater than liberty, the tranquility of servitude greater than the animating contest for freedom, go home from us in peace. We seek not your counsel, nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chain set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget you are ever our countrymen. Jeffrey Cooper said, the rifle has no moral stature since it has no will of its own. Naturally, it may be used by evil men for evil purposes, but there are more good men than evil. And while the latter cannot be persuaded to path of righteousness by propaganda, they can certainly be corrected by good men and women with rifles. And lastly, Euripides, when the ones with honeyed words but evil minds persuade the people, great woe shall befall the state. Our very flag, Virginia says, and I quote, "Sic semper tyrannis," which means thus always to tyrants, suggesting that bad outcomes should befall tyrants. Well, I say, death to all tyrants.
Next is Mr. Samuel A. Thompson, Jr. Behind him will be Mr. Mark D. Poulin, and then Sierra Race.
Thank you. My name is Samuel Russell Thompson, Jr. 487 Buckhorn Lane. If the good people has their guns took away, then all that will have them will be evil people. The guns will not kill people by itself. It is the evil people that use them to do harm. Thank you all. Please do the right thing and pass our Second Amendment right to bear arms. I would like to thank the one of you that gave me a bottle of water at the last meeting.
Yes, sir, Mr. Thompson. After Ms. Race will be Don Nelson. If I mispronounce your name, I apologize right now.
Hello, I'm Mark David Poole II. I live at 534 Rolling Road South. I moved down here from Connecticut just over a year ago, and I watched my state decay and deteriorate, and people's rights fall apart, and in this room right here, there's more people than go to pro-gun rights rallies at the state capitol. The CCDL in Connecticut has as many people show up in the Constitution state to fight for the Second Amendment. If you think it can't happen here, that's a lie. They're pushing to take away our rights, raise our taxes, and it's happening in Connecticut, it's happening in California, and people are leaving the state, and they're getting less in tax revenue, so it's not working. So, what's gonna happen here? The law that's been proposed, it's more restrictive than California, it's more restrictive than the state I came from, Connecticut. This is Virginia, this is the fertile crescent of liberty and human rights in America. This is where Thomas Jefferson, Washington, Madison, and names we don't even know of soldiers fought the revolution for our rights. This is where Nat Turner led a slave rebellion so that he could have his rights. I don't know what we're doing, but this resolution doesn't have a lot of teeth. It takes away funding for enforcement. And if it's possible, I'd like the supervisors to consider an ordinance with a little more teeth that says that the county sheriffs may charge state and federal agents who want to enforce these laws that are unconstitutional with crimes themselves for infringing our rights. That's what I would like. And our county sheriff and our deputies here are our friends and neighbors, and I'm sure everyone in this room would defend their rights too. Thank you so much for letting me speak, and thank you to everyone else who spoke and came out tonight.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Sierra Race.
Good evening. My name is Sierra Race. I'm 15 and I currently live in Fort Union. I would first like to give a definition of Infringe, it means to act so as to limit or undermine something or to encroach on. Therefore, anyone trying to limit what guns we can have is unconstitutional according to the Second Amendment of the United States. I am for the resolution that the county of Urbana should be designated a Second Amendment sanctuary county. For the first, I in school, I have read a lot about American and world history. In Germany, the government put strict restrictions on guns. Then after the guns were all regulated, the Nazis had a clear way to commit the Holocaust. Some people may say that that's history and that doesn't happen anymore. Well, that is not so. In 2012, the Venezuelan government banned private gun ownership. Then a few years later, it was reported that their government was shutting down. This is proof that if you don't learn from history, it will repeat itself. It is my opinion that history shows the government only tries to regulate the people's guns if they plan on doing something the people would not tolerate or fight against. Secondly, once the government takes our Second Amendment, they will take away our ability to protect ourselves, our families, and our country. Some people might say that once we give up our guns, the government would protect ourselves. I have the utmost respect for the government and the police would protect us. I have the utmost respect for our law enforcement, but they cannot always be there. Sometimes it takes up to 15 minutes for the police to arrive at the scene. Being a young girl like myself, I could be beaten, robbed, etc. In 15 minutes it could take for the police to arrive. If you do not have a means of protection, you could be in big trouble. The police are only human. They cannot be everywhere at once. It would help them also if you could protect yourself and others in a volatile situation. And with the current stand in the government, I do not believe they would protect us. A lot of people that have power and influence are for the removal of the Second Amendment. Thirdly, every person that is sworn into office has to swear to protect the Constitution. Ralph Northam is trying to take away our rights to own guns. He's doing it slowly at first. He will take away our semi-autos and fully autos and cartridges. And they're already trying to tell you how long your pocket knife can be. So what's to stop them from taking the rest? If the 8 legislations that Ralph Northam is proposing are passed, it would allow police and the court to separate you from your guns, which is a political way of saying they would take your guns away. This is unconstitutional because the Second Amendment also says that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the state shall not be infringed. I refer back to my definition of infringe. Ralph Northam is trying to make it so the militia cannot fight back if the government were to become tyrannical. In conclusion, America is the greatest country in the world because it is the only country that has a government, not a government that has a country. It is also the best because we have rights and freedom. We cannot allow the government that we control to ruin the best country in the world. In conclusion, we the people of Urbana need you, the board, and the police officers to fight against the unconstitutional gun regulations that would leave it open for history to repeat itself. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Dave Johnson, you will be next.
Good evening. My name is Deanne Nelson, 1860 Hayden Martin Road. I am speaking as a single voice of we the people for myself. I just recently, I've been around guns all my life, but had the opportunity to own a gun and shoot a gun, and it's a fun sport. I would like to be able to continue to do that with an extended magazine so I don't have to reload as often. I have problems with my hands and wrists, which makes it difficult to do some of these things even though it's enjoyable. I don't feel that our country's government, and especially our state's government, should have the right to tell me what I can and cannot own that I have obtained legally. I have taken all the courses that I could take. I've taken hunter safety and passed. I've taken concealed carry and passed. I own guns, but I know how to use them respectfully. And
righteously. I don't want not be able to have the opportunity to teach my children and my grandchildren how they can use properly a firearm if they should ever come across one in their lives. Because if they have no knowledge of how to use a gun and what it can do, it could end up hurting themselves or someone else, as we see tragically in the news fairly often, unfortunately. But like others have spoken before tonight, it's not the gun that's really the problem, it's the person wielding it. And I just like to agree with everybody else that I think we should become a Second Amendment county and show the government in Richmond that we are the people and we have a voice and they need to listen to it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Dave Johnson's next. Ann Cranville's behind Dave.
Dave Johnson, 183 Port House Lane. I came here tonight because I'm sick of the narrative. The narrative is this is about gun rights. This is not about gun rights. It's about constitutional rights. You know, first off, they say the gun rights here is about gun rights, and man, I lost my train of thought because I'm nervous. And it's not about hunting either. Oh, by the way, congratulations on that nice harvest there. It's not about hunting either, and I would not hang around with someone who needed 30 rounds to shoot a deer. Right? It's about constitutional rights. It's about a well-regulated militia. So who is the militia? This is the militia. All right? Understand it's unconstitutional to have a standing army, yet we still have one. So why did our forefathers say have a well-regulated militia in case we had a tyrannical government who said what we were going to do and how we were going to live our lives. Now, our Attorney General has said that the gun lobby has ginned all this up. I've never met anybody in the gun lobby, and I've never joined the NRA. So what is the plan? Well, it's very simple. New gun laws will be passed, and they will be enforced. So who's going to enforce it? My neighbors here? I don't understand this. And so my question is this all about control? Understand that and be very clear about this. As soon as we are disarmed, they have control of us. And if you can think of any law that every abiding citizen or any citizen follows, well, they don't. I'm sure many of you all spent to get here. So with that being said, I'm a God-fearing man, and I want to tell you one thing. When I meet my maker, I will bow, but I will not bow to any man on this earth while they put their boot and tyranny on my neck.
Thank you. Next is Ms. Cranville, Eddie Wood, you're on deck, and Cody Stowe in the hall.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Ann Cranville. I live at 4094 Ridge Road in Palmyra. Shall not be infringed. That, I think people in Richmond don't understand what that means. I have four kids. They all hunt. I've been around guns all my life. I've never seen a gun shoot itself. Some of these laws they want to pass are of deep concern to me. One that was not listed tonight on the printed information y'all gave us was the red flag law. I don't know if you've read about it or not, but it allows a person to make an accusation that someone is a danger to themselves or someone else, and their guns can be confiscated. The accuser's identity remains secret, so the accused can't even confront their accuser, and future accusations can be made. No notice of police showing up. Guns drawn. This law violates due process prior to gun confiscation. The accused is presumed dangerous until they prove they aren't. Confiscation is based on someone's word. For the accused, costly legal fees, the loss of reputation and their employment are deep concerns. A few weeks ago, you may have heard, a 60-year-old man in Maryland had police show up at his home at 5 a.m. He didn't know what was going on. He came to the door with his firearm. The police were there to confiscate his guns because of an accusation by his doctor, which resulted in him being shot and killed by the police, all because of the red flag law. Another bill would prohibit one or more persons gathering together for the purpose of training, practicing, or instruction with a firearm. This would affect gun range business owners or even private citizens shooting targets on their own property. Another bill would ban the sale of what they deem as assault firearms or scary-looking guns, in layman terms, and guns that have clips over 10 rounds. And it would also prohibit someone from carrying a shotgun that carries a magazine over 7 rounds. Supposedly, there will be a grandfather clause, but they have to be registered. Hear me, people, register nothing. Another bill would raise the age that a child can have access to a firearm from 13 to 18 years old, even for self-defense. The Hunter Safety Course is available for children starting at 12 years old. If someone has evil in their heart, they're going to find a way to carry it out. A gun is just one choice. There are many choices. No law is going to stop evil in people's hearts. Most of the shootings and murders are committed by young men, mostly from broken homes, no positive male role models in their lives. Some have emotional or mental problems that have never been addressed, but were known behaviors at school or at home. Young men today are in desperate need of positive male role models. And men, if you can be a positive male role model, be one. Before the elections, we were told, I'm almost finished, nobody wants to take your guns, but as soon as the elections were over, bills were drafted up by Democrats that basically amount to gun confiscation. So I tend not to believe them. So when they realize these gun laws don't work, they're going to be back to pass more, restrict more guns, and eventually you're going to have a gun-free state. Look at the states with the strictest gun laws on the books. You'd think they'd be the safest places, but they aren't, because gun laws don't work, because criminals don't obey the law. You think Richmond's going to stop at just gutting our Second Amendment rights? Think again. Soon they're going to be after our freedom of speech, freedom of religion. They're both under attack already in society. I'm not willing to give up any of my rights, are you? So I say we draw the line right now today and let Richmond know we're not gutting our Second Amendment rights, and I respectfully ask that the Board of Supervisors declare Louisiana County a Second Amendment constitutional county. As of today, 77 counties in Virginia have already done this. Let's make Louisiana 78. Thank you.
Once again, folks, I ask you please withhold that. Cody's up, or Eddie's up, Cody's on deck. James Winsett's in the hole.
Good evening. My name is Eddie Wood. I will soon be a resident at 185 Cloverdale Road in Port Keene. The house is under construction. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. By this point, you've all been very well educated on the Second Amendment of the Constitution and Article 1, Section 13 of the Virginia Constitution. So I won't go there. But at least one of you recently asked a constituent if he felt that everyone should have access to any firearms. Think about that. First, I'd like to refer back to the previously mentioned constitutional amendments. Some of you may ask if I am part of the militia. Anti-gun people will say that no, I'm not, that that's not part of the U.S. Constitution. They are wrong. The Code of Virginia states very clearly that the militia is made up of all residents of Virginia who are or intend to be U.S. citizens between the ages of 16 and 55. Contrary to what my dermatologist said yesterday about the color of my hair no longer being red, I assure you, I am very much a part of the Virginia militia, according to state code. Excuse me. I ask that I should have access as a member of the militia to any weapon that the current military or police force would have access to. I'd like to propose a scenario for you based on factual history. On April 19, 1775, some bad men sent soldiers to take the weapons away from some American patriots. Those patriots had the exact same weapons as those soldiers who came to take the Patriots' weapons. We know how that ended. A few years later, some other men, much smarter than any of us, drafted the United States Constitution. When they said, "shall not be infringed," what did they mean? I think it's pretty clear. If, and I pray that this never happens, but if a modern day tyrant sends men with guns to Fluvanna County to take our guns, wouldn't you think that Thomas Jefferson would want us to have the same weapons they do? Ladies and gentlemen, please understand that the amendments of both constitutions, the U.S. and Virginia, have absolutely nothing to do with hunting or recreational shooting. Those amendments were and are there to provide myself and millions of Virginians the ability to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. And let's be very clear. These proposed bills in the Virginia legislature, I hear you, Leaper, are tyrannical. There's no other word for it. I implore you, think long and hard before you vote against this proposal. Because if you do, and if blood is ever shed in Fluvanna County because of the above scenario, that blood will be on your hands. Please vote yes tonight. Thank you, and have a blessed evening.
Thank you. Cody, James, Jerry Clore, you now in hold.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, fellow citizens, I had a chance to speak last week, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate the time to come back up and speak again. I'm going to keep it real short, but I would like to ask any veteran that's ever served or defenseless, United States of America, please stand up. And remain standing.
Please remain standing during my speech. My name is Cody Stowe, Sergeant First Class, United States Army, retired, Fluvanna County. We took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. They've done something. Every person standing up. We are asking you to stand up for us. Thank you.
Wynn said, Mr. Gary Clore is in on deck. Morgan Masori is in the home.
Good evening, gentlemen and ladies. My name is James Winsett. I live on James Madison Highway, right next to Carey's Creek. If you drive by, it looks like a zebra fixing to run out in front of it. It's just my mailbox. Don't worry, it's just hijacked. I ran across here recently an office where the government's going to take care of it. First thing they can do, they're going to let me participate in this gun policy restricted order. If that doesn't work, then they're going to let me participate in this extreme risk protection order. That's just a nasty way of saying they're going to cheat me out of my guns. This is usually referred to as a red flag law. You know, I just heard of a good description of what the red flag law is. That creates a violation not only of the Fourth Amendment, but the Fifth Amendment and the Sixth Amendment. The state of Maryland pleases to report here lately that about two-thirds of their red flag incidents turned out to be frivolous. I think that means worthless. I'm not sure, but I think it does. Now, when Hitler took over, the second thing he did was take the guns away from us. I understand from history the first thing he did was send all these buddies out here in the middle of the night, killed all the government people that didn't back him up. Well, we know how that eventually turned out. Here a few years ago, some redcoats here in Boston started telling people what to do, and they didn't like it, so they shot a few of them, took all the guns away from them, and next thing you know, the harbor turned into a teapot, and we all know how that turned out. And even a little bit earlier, now, some people up north, they said, hey, them there, hillbillies, you know, we don't like what they're doing, so we're going to tell the state that they can't do what they want to do. We're going to tell them what they can do. Well, we know how that turned out. It wasn't very civil either. You know, there's a lot of nasty stuff out there. Now, if somebody comes to my house and wants to take my guns away from me, first thing I'm going to do is pray for those people.
Amen.
And then the next thing I'm going to do is give them every bullet that I have, one at a time. I'm not advocating violence. But violence starts with that first step on my doorstep to take my protection away from me. And if I'm so dangerous that somebody can say, hey, old man Wynn sat down there, looks mean and nasty, so I think he's going to be doing some damage. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I know he wouldn't do it, but some sheriff may come up there and throw me down to the floor at 3 o'clock in the morning, put handcuffs on me, stomp me in the head because I'm hollering at him, take my little 22 caliber pistol away from me that I used to kill skunks with to get in my chicken pen. So, you know, after I get over that, I may have to wait 2 or 3 months or maybe years or never get my little 22 caliber pistol back. It all depends on what attitude the judge may have somewhere. In the meantime, I think that the so-called gun right goes along with the right of life. It's God-given. And I don't care what the evolutionists say, and I don't know about all the rest of you people in this building, but my family didn't come from monks. That's just all there is to it. I was born, and my great-great-granddaddy, way back long ago, was created by God from a handful of dirt. Now, I asked all fellows to, and ladies to kind of consider how this country was made, and what's protecting this country from people that want to take it over. I ask that you go ahead and let everyone know that we're not going to stand for our last means of protection being taken away from us. Thank y'all very much, and have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, I will ask that when you hear the beeper go off, please try to wrap it up as quick as you can. Thank you, Mr. Winsett. Mr. Gore is up. Morgan Missouri is next. Eden Pomeroy is in hold.
Good evening. First, I want to thank the supervisors and your staff for the service you provide to our county. I know for a fact that you did not create the problem that we're confronting here in front of you tonight, but we do appreciate your attention and listening to our point of view. But we know that you did not generate or create this problem. I also want to thank the Honorable Sheriff Hess and his staff for their visibility. If you're this supporting here tonight, we know what it's like when we're in our homes and you're out and about protecting us. Thank you for that as well.
Amen.
My name is Gary Clore. I currently reside at 725 Transco Road, Scottsdale, Virginia, Antioch, Flavanna County. And I just want to, I really want to voice my opinion here, and I appreciate the opportunity for being a citizen of the county and a citizen of the state and a citizen of America to have that privilege. But I want to read something. It's titled the Second Amendment, well-regulated militia being necessary to secure the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And here again, I agree with everything that's been said. The key word here is infringed. The definition for infringed is act so as to limit or undermine something. And the example used is his legal rights are being infringed upon. Now, right now, the General Assembly is trying to tell us what we can and can't have as a complement to our weapons. So what's to keep them from trying to tell us that we can't have a firing pin, even though we're allowed to have a weapon? The firing pins are going to be confiscated. I'm telling you, what's happening here is something that we never dreamed of, but is here in front of us, and we're bringing it in front of you with all due respect. Then I finish with this. Why is the Second Amendment the Second Amendment? Because it's almost as important as the First. It's not to be infringed upon. Now, I don't know what the county supervisors can do, but I just plead with you, as Mr. Weaver, my representative, and the rest of you, that you do whatever you can do to support the fact that we want to retain our rights according to the Second Amendment. Thank you for this time.
Thank you, sir. Next up is Morgan Missouri, Eden Pomeroy, and then Bill Davis.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having us here tonight. I am Morgan Missouri. I live at 29 Rockfish Run Road. I really enjoy being there. I don't care to leave. I don't care for the cold. I work from home and I have my dogs there. So leaving here really tells you something. I really feel this is important that people come out and speak. So I come before you all tonight as a U.S. citizen, as a lifelong proud Virginian, and as a taxpaying resident of Fluvanna County. And I also come before you as a woman, a free woman. I was born free, and I intend to remain so until my last breath. I come before you on behalf of myself, my family, friends, my colleagues and neighbors, and on behalf of my fellow citizens, even those who disagree with me, because they do not understand their rights or why they have them. I come before you to voice my unwavering support for the Second Amendment, and I come before you in shock and disbelief that this even needs to be said. Our rights are not afforded to us by the Constitution. Rather, they are acknowledged by it. And they don't just disappear when some tyrant with a pen and a phone wants us to believe that we're not entitled to them. The Bill of Rights is not a list of suggestions or an a la carte choices. The Constitution is non-negotiable. Liberty is not up for debate. But evidently, some of our so-called representatives forget who and what they represent. So I come here as a ceaseless reminder of who they serve. And I come here to remind everyone that this is a direct result of not exercising your right to vote. Get registered, get to the polls. There's no excuses in 2019, and 2020 is right around the corner. If you need any help registering or finding transportation, I will help you. If you opt out, you might as well cut out your tongue. Just a quick look around the room. I see so many orange stickers, and that tells me that we are not here to seek permission. We are here to make our voices loud, clear, and official. We will not be silent. We will not compromise with an invasive government. We will not submit to tyranny. We had the good fortune to be born under the flag of freedom, and in so many cases, to be granted citizenship in the greatest country in the world. Let's keep it that way.
Next up is Eden Pomeroy, Bill Davis, and then Curtis Putnam is in the hole.
Hello, my name is Eden Pomeroy, and I am a resident of Cunningham District. I'm here to ask you to vote in favor of Fluvanna County becoming a sanctuary for our constitutional rights. Because the Second Amendment is a right, it is the right that protects the rest of them. As you can probably see, I do not have the ability to vote today. I have to sit back and watch my rights. Excuse me again, Ben. Governor Northam is talking about grandfathering in certain firearms. Where does that leave the next generation, my generation? So I'm asking you to think about not just the adults when you make your decision, but your future constituents too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Next up, Bill Davis. Curtis Putnam's on deck. Roger Bowles in the hole. I'm sorry, I can't hide baseball. Do we have, folks, Bill Davis? Do we have Bill Davis? Okay, not seeing Mr. Davis. Mr. Putnam. Oh, hang on. Is this Mr. Davis? Nope. Didn't want to cut you off if it was, sir.
All right. I'm Curtis Putnam. I reside at 16408 James Madison Highway, Elmira, Virginia. I'm a resident of the Columbia District, and I oppose this resolution. I do not oppose the Constitution or the Second Amendment. I have never seen such outcry aroused by something that may never come to pass. To preempt legislation yet to be passed or even considered boggles the mind. There is a proper means to enhance or propose legislation. This is not it. As a republic, we designate our representatives to calmly consider the rights and responsibilities of our citizens. What is happening here is an end run to create havoc. Seriously, create havoc. As you see from the stickers here, this effort has been orchestrated. It's not a groundswell. It was orchestrated to make maximum impact. Now, I'm sure that your advisors and attorneys have told you that this resolution has no legal basis and will be subject to the legal action if it is attempted to be enforced. It will put the law-abiding citizens in opposition to the laws of the land. Over the door of the 1831 courthouse here in Palmyra are carved in stone the words, "Obey the laws." Are we to abandon the resolution of our ancestors? I urge the Board of Supervisors to deny this ill-considered resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Budden. Ladies and gentlemen, if we truly respect the Constitution, then we will... Hey! I'm the one that talks. If we respect the Constitution, we respect everyone that speaks about it. So if we're going to preach that we respect the Constitution, respect it. Thank you. Sir, I will ask you. I've said it politely, please. Mr. Bowles, on deck is Frederick Bayless. In the hall is Sean W. Metcalf. Mr. Bowles.
Roger Bowles, 5520, James Madison Highway, Fort Union, Virginia. Wow. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you again. I had the opportunity to speak with you last week. I want to remind the board of one thing I tried to remind you of last week. Okay? And I do believe that each one of you took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Period. Okay? Your surrounding counties, Louisa County, Goosen County, Nelson County, as far as I know, have all approved this. Okay? To stand up for the Constitution. Period. I'm asking you for a unanimous vote to declare Fort Mount County a Second Amendment preservation area to protect the Constitution and to protect the majority of this room. Now, no, there was nothing orchestrated that I know of because it was orchestrated. I don't want to get paid for it, okay? And I didn't get paid for putting on a sticker. Number two, okay, and board members, a unanimous vote is going to make a major statement to Richmond. Whether it carries any legal weight or not, is immaturity. But you're doing what you took an oath to say that you would do. And if you're not going to do that, it's my suggestion that you touch base with your county attorney and start your letters of resignation in place, because you're going back on the oath that you took. Thank you.
Frederick Bayless, Mr. Metcalf is on deck, Mr. Sam Patterson's in the hall. Yes, sir, Mr. Bayless.
My name is Frederick Bayless, 73 Jefferson Drive, R-4-2963, Palmyra District. And I again thank you for having this meeting, having this place where we can all get in here, and for being a county doesn't that room with county employees so that us citizens can't get in to be heard. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Well, my father flew missions during World War II with the Army Air Force and retired from what became the Air Force after 26 years of service.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just need you to keep your talking down. If you can hold it just a little bit closer, speak up just there.
And I was an Army medical corpsman during Vietnam, and I took that call to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I think a bunch of us here in the room tonight took that oath under one situation or another, and you know, you did too. I have grandchildren in public school, and I'm very concerned about gun violence. Laws don't apply to criminals. They don't apply to killers, murderers. Basically, they ignore them. Gun-free zones have been a terrible failure. That's where a lot of the shootings happen. I believe that politicians who push gun control know that. They know that. Their goal is not to reduce gun violence, or else they can support actions and uphold the laws that would actually be effective in doing that. What their goal is to chip away at our rights of law-abiding citizens and eventually disarm citizens. And that's what every socialist country does, and that seems to be where they're pushing us to. Because of my oath to defend the Constitution, I can't allow myself to be disarmed. I'll die first. And every bunch of us will feel that way. I thank God for our law enforcement officers. They're brave, they're dedicated to public service, and they know that hundreds of their brothers and sisters die in the line of duty every year. Thank you. Please don't put them into confrontation with those of us, law-abiding citizens, who have taken the oath to defend the Constitution.
Thank you, Mr. Bayless. Next up, John W. Metcalf, Mr. Sam Patterson's on deck.
My name is Sean Metcalf. I live at 6407 Union Mills Road in Troy. I know a few of you on the board personally, and I appreciate the opportunity for be able to speak here, although I'm not a public speaker and I don't even have a written down speech. Havoc is not what I see here. I see no havoc taking place. I may be wrong, but I don't know. I don't need to get stand up here and discuss the Constitution or the Second Amendment or the definition of shall not be infringed. Obviously, that's been taken care of. I was taking a few signatures for this particular event, and in doing so, I was able to interview and talk to several people in the community, several police officers, local police officers, deputies, state police, ATF, and try to obtain signatures from some of these people. Unanimously, they declined. Why? Because they don't have First Amendment rights to be able to speak up on this. That's why. That's what they told them. Their First Amendment rights as state police officers, as federal police officers, as local police officers, were bound. They could not speak about the subject openly. They did not want to put their name on that piece of paper. Now, that doesn't mean they don't support our cause, because I can tell you with complete certainty that the majority of the police officers that I know, they're on our side. I ask you guys on the board, ladies and gentlemen, to support our police officers and let them have their First Amendment rights, because they have them. I also come to you as a concealed carry permit holder for several years. Also am a father of a victim of an online predator. We sent the son of a bitch to prison for 12 and a half years in federal prison. Local police got involved here, the local sheriffs, then state picked it up, then federal picked it up, Department of Justice, Homeland Security got involved, witness protection, the whole nine yards. How dare they limit my rights to defend my family? Because he's going to be getting out of prison, and I'll be ready. Because he already knew where we lived before the prosecution, before the court case even got going. He knew where we lived. He knew our address. He knew where my kids went to school. He knew my name. And we watch our kids. We don't give them free rent. I also have a family member who was a victim of a corrupt police officer or two in a local county not too far from here. He's also going to federal prison. But I'm also the biggest supporter of our police officers, those who support the Constitution and defend us and support us. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray you support this amendment. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Next up, we've added a new list, will be Mason Bird with Matthew Kolzinski on deck.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Sam Patterson from the Pinellas District. People before me and after me will speak very eloquently about something you feel very passionately about. If there's one emotion that I could talk to you all about tonight that courses through the veins of every person in this room, that word is fear. Fear that what we fought in Revolutionary War, that is a tyrannical government, that is a tyrannical king, who would seek to take away our power to defend ourselves. That fear is what you're hearing coursing through everyone's talk here tonight. And what I urge each and every one of you to consider tonight is that fear has always been in the background in all of our minds. We now have a collection of state bills before us that have erased any of the background fears and have brought them screaming to the foreground, that what we now see are true infringements upon our rights, our constitutional rights, are being actively taken away from us potentially next year. This is why we are asking to create a Second Amendment sanctuary county here, because we feel so completely that the love of our country, the love of our state, is something that we expect our elected leaders to protect. And as many before me have said, you have a constitutional effort here that binds you to protecting us, because we are required, as citizens of that to stand before a tyrannical government, be it the U.S. government, be it the state government. We will not have those rights infringed upon. We ask you, as our elected leaders, to please stand by us, each and every one of you, because you never know when you really might need us. Because if we are that well-regulated militia who stands as an army, if need to be called, to protect our country as our founders asked us to do, to be ready to defend this country from those without our country and those within our country. We stand before you asking, as a body, not some orchestrated thing, as many have said before. We are not well orchestrated. We have been yanked to attention here. And that attention, I hope, has you riveted as well as it does us. Because our attention is laser focused at this point. And we will not be trivialized here. Please, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, support us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Next up, Mason Bird, Matthew Polzinski's on deck, Richard Bucci's in the hole.
Thank you very much. My name is Mason Bird. I live at 335 Jefferson Drive in Palmyra. I'm in awe by what I see here tonight. This is a great exercise of the First Amendment. It's quite amazing. I greatly appreciate the Board of Supervisors listening. And don't forget that you have a voice in Richmond as well, and it's just down I-64. You can make it there. One of the things I see that's missing in the resolution that I don't know if it's allowed would be some findings. And I've been carrying a firearm for 37 years in defense of myself and my community. And in that time, I found that firearms in the hands of the right people, with the right training, the right place, under the right circumstances, save lives. I've been involved, it's been 25 years or so, in a couple of armed robberies that I didn't pick a place and time, but I was armed at the time and drew my firearm and did what I had to do. And all innocent people went home. Those weren't urban areas decades ago. But you don't have to look too far. Just in 2016 on Lake Monticello Road, we had an incident where we had two brave citizens who defended themselves. And I went to the trial and watched the trial, and as the Commonwealth Attorney said in his closing argument, if those brave people didn't act the way they did, we wouldn't have been having a trial that day. So if you can make findings, make findings. That being said, I have absolute faith in our sheriff and our Commonwealth Attorney. And the reason why I have faith in them is because the process that has us here tonight, being able to speak, being able to vote, has put them in office. I don't think we need anything in a resolution that seems to imply that they're not going to do their jobs correctly, or that funding would be taken away from them. I have absolute faith in them. So once again, I'm all but what I see here tonight, and make sure that Richmond hears your voice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bird. Matthew Polzinski. On deck is Richard Bucci, and in the holes, Katie Brown.
Thank you. I want to start off. I'm a firefighter in the county. I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm a EMT. And I should probably start off by saying my views do not necessarily represent those of my department. However, if this new law passes, I will be a felon, and that will bar me from continuing service to my county and to the citizens of the Houston County we live in. I stand here tonight to ask the board to allow Houdan to become a sanctuary county, as many across the state have. I'm not a hunter. I know many attendants are. I stand here in defense of a free state that owes its protection to civilian gun ownership. Tyrants throughout history disarmed their populaces in order to continue their rule. The most relevant example, of course, would be the Redcoats marching on Concord to attempt to seize the weapons of Americans. We as citizens of the United States have a duty to ensure our government upholds the Constitution. Those of Richmond seem to think otherwise. We in Virginia should especially be held accountable with our rich history, with the Founding Fathers, and the revolution which gave us our freedom from tyranny. Let us not forget the state motto, Sic Semper Tyrannis. Otherwise, if we let this continue, we might as well be let the tyrants tread. For those of you that are already in compliance or plan to comply with this law, you should be on your toes. This is only the beginning of the slippery slope in which the erosion of our Second Amendment rights will continue. If this legislation passes, I guarantee that sooner or later, you'll be out of compliance again, to the point of complete foolishness.
In conclusion, I'd like to reiterate my request for the board to join our brothers and sisters in the localities that have already passed this resolution. I would also like to offer a quote to the audience tonight from Supervisor Mark Johnson of Orange County. If the General Assembly adopts a law that you believe is unconstitutional, you need to be ready to file a lawsuit the next day. I'd also like to say that I, as a diabetic, I am barred from taking the same oath that many of us here tonight have taken to defend the Constitution from enemies, domestic and foreign, that I will be proud to stand on the front lines against you and defend against tyrants stepping on our roads. Thank you.
Katie Brown's in the on deck, and Carl Partner's in hold.
Thank you. My name is Richard Bucci. I live at Five Salami Court. That's in Lake Monticello, and I thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts. I'm going to talk heavily from a letter I wrote to each of you, which presumably, hopefully, you've got a chance to read, but if not, let me recap some key points. I guess I'm going to be representing a minority view here, but let's stop and reflect what you're being asked to do by this group. It's to create a sanctuary so that we don't respect the law of the land. This flies in conflict with what I've heard about Constitution, law-abiding, and people's terms over and over again. And does that mean that we only obey laws we like? I don't think so. I think we have to obey the laws of the land. And so if the laws are such to improve gun control and gun regulation, then that's what we need to do. Individual counties should not be going around determining what laws they wish to adhere to, which ones they don't. Also, I want to be clarified in the question. We're hearing a lot of voices, you know, a lot of people, I think you've heard a lot of comments, all in basically one view. That one view is not the majority view. Let me just recap a few statistics from the Pew Research Center. Only 11% of the public believe gun control laws should be weakened. 60% they should be strengthened. Large majorities of both Democrats is 93% and Republicans 82% favor background checks for private gun sales and gun shows. Another point, large majorities of Americans also favor banning high capacity ammunition cartridges and assault style rifles. Taking overall population changes into account, there were 12 firearm related deaths for every 180,000 people in 2017. That's a 14% increase over 2015. When considering proposals to declare Nevada County a Second Amendment sanctuary, supervisors should reflect on the damage that unrestrained ownership of powerful weapons is causing our nation. According to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 40,000 Americans died of gun-related injuries in 2017. This marked a 19% increase from 2012 and the highest annual total since the mid-1990s. The increase in gun deaths over 5 years included a 15% rise in suicides involving a gun and 25% rise in murders involving a firearm. All too often we learn of a mass shooting. There were two just this past week on the 3rd. As an aging baby mover, I could well recall frequent duck and cover exercises. And some of you may be in the same range as me and remember doing this. Well, now our schools are regularly having active shooter drills. Parents are buying their children bulletproof backpacks. Is this the kind of country we want to live in? Is this what unrestrained, unregulated gun control is bringing us? I don't think so. Weapons like the popular AR-15 serve no useful purpose other than to destroy other people. There's no reason why every gun buyer should not be registered and have to pass a background check. Many of us will look going even further, requiring licensing and prohibiting the purchase of guns to individuals under the age of 21. But sure, we've heard a lot about this Second Amendment. And just to recap, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of free state, the right of people to keep and bear arms and not be infringed. Well, let's not forget that first clause, a well-regulated militia. And that's exactly what we're talking about. What constitutes regulations, what's up in our regulators, touching yourself back to the trade. But it doesn't say no regulations. It doesn't say anyone can have any weapon. It doesn't say any person should, regardless of qualifications, should be packed with heat, so to speak. So I guess what I'm saying here is that we need to consider everything in Mandarin County, all the people, including the vast majority of the women, strongly and controls the people. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Next up is Katie Brown, Carl Partner after her, and then Sam Richardson.
Good evening. My name is Katie Brown. I live at 31 Overlook Circle. I am the daughter of a law enforcement officer and a military veteran. I'm also married to a married to a military veteran and a hunter. I have a 10-year-old son who hunts as well. The thing about this gun control issue, they have it all wrong. It's about education. You need to educate the children what to do and how to respect firearms. If they don't know to respect it, they don't know what it's about, it's gonna cause fear, it's gonna cause a whole bunch of chaos, they're gonna go and think it's all cool. I also work in the realm of law enforcement in the legal area. I work on many cases with criminals where I see these people don't get their guns legally. They buy them from their friends to get them legally, or they steal them from people who own them legally. Why should we be held accountable for these people who are not doing what they're supposed to do, not following the law? We are following the laws. Is this gonna be a legal issue to be a Second Amendment sanctuary? Does it hold any legal standing in Richmond? Maybe not, but what it does do is show that we the people stand for our rights, and we will continue to do so until the day we die. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam Richardson's on deck, Linda Stager's in hold.
It's not written, it's points. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you last meeting. I appreciate the opportunity for you to listen to me again. There are some different things I wanted to point out. One is this sticker, Gun Save Lives. There's a lot of controversy on it. So you look at the media to try and find where guns save lives. And it's actually kind of hard to find it. When you ask why, is it hard to find information? Well, there's a lot of viewpoints on that. Mine is, some of the media has been purchased and it's being guided. That having been said, I did look. And I didn't have to look far from a couple of periodicals that I receive at my house. One of them is out of a notebook that I get. And there on the fourth page is a piece called The Armed Citizen. And in here, it lists, not by their words, but by the written words of the newspapers from the cities and towns where armed citizens saved lives with handguns, with AR-15s. Interestingly enough, Roanoke, Virginia, 6/21 of 2019, there's one, not close to home, saved a life. Another one here, this one here was very interesting to me. The Virginia Pilot, Hampton Roads, 8/29/19. Two masked men with guns were allegedly trying to rob a convenience store at 2 a.m. Where did you hear about that in the national news? You don't. Why? Because it doesn't bring headlines. If you want to find it, it's out there. Guns can save lives if they're used as proper tools for protection,
which is what they were originally designed for. They weren't originally designed for hunting. Chinese had no interest in hunting when they created gunpowder. Another point that I'd like the board to think about, as everyone else in here already does, myself included. How many of you have children, grandchildren, spouses, or neighbors that are very, very dear to your hearts, that if a perpetrator were to kick the front door in of their home, which would you rather have them be able to grab? Something that would level the playing field with the armed perp that's entering their home to do who knows what? Or would you want them to call 911 and turn the egg timer over? It's not their fault. I was going to be a police officer once myself in Arizona. But I realized one very distinct thing that caused me to, that kind of shed me away from it. And maybe that was my weakness, that I realized that unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, police officers are reactive and not proactive. They come in and they clean up the mess. That's unfortunate. But the truth plays out, unless the individual can protect themselves. And how many of your children are you willing to sacrifice so that we can lose this right to a governor who appears to become tyrannical? I yield my time.
Thank you, sir. Next up, Sam Richardson. Ms. Linda Stager is on deck. Ray Rankin is in the hole.
Good evening, Sam Richardson, Board of One Lafayette. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. And as maybe the only actually observant Jew in Bolivia County, there's plenty of Jewish folks here, but not a lot of us are observant. I'd like to give a little bit of a different perspective, and that's based on personal historical observation and participation. My grandfather was a liberator at the Dachau concentration camp. He witnessed firsthand what happens when people's ability to protect themselves is removed. After that, he and his buddies started disarming German officers. I have a Luger that he took off of a German officer. And they, of course, treated them with the respect that those officers refused to treat the Jewish citizens of the German, Austrian, Italian, French, Polish states. He taught me a very important lesson. He always said, Sammy, it's up to you to make sure the right thing is done. Today, I get the opportunity to travel. London, Frankfurt, Madrid, are a few of the cities I've been to recently. And it's scary to walk around with a yarmulke, because Jews in those countries are not allowed to defend themselves. They do not have the rights for self-protection we have here. I can wear my yarmulke anywhere in this country and feel very safe, especially around my friends in Levant County. But looking forward, I don't know, maybe our governor and our attorney general are benevolent. Maybe they have the best intentions at heart for our citizens. But should any of these laws pass, should we need to give up or hide our self-protection, someday, and maybe sooner than you think, there will arise a government which will take advantage. This young man will be going to Israel, where I will be safe. I don't know where the rest of y'all are going to go. I pray that we don't have to make those decisions.
Thank you, sir. On deck is Ray Rankin. In hold, Paula Berardi.
My name is Linda Staker. I live at 2949 Ridge Road in the Columbia District. I feel that I am not in the majority here, but I did want to give a few credentials about myself. I come from a military family and a family of hunters. I have guns in my home, and in fact, this Saturday I'm taking the course to get my concealed carry permit. I'm not against guns, and I am a strong supporter of the United States. I have traveled overseas. I know what it's like to come back to the United States and be in a free country, and I greatly respect the country that we have. I'm here today because I'm very upset that there are so many people here tonight that are so riled up about this. And yet you can look around our county and see so many other issues that are so important to us. We have people here that are hungry. We have people here who don't have homes or water in their homes. These are the issues that I would like to see you bring the same passion to. This resolution does not have any legal authority. And I hear you speaking a lot about the fear that you have these laws will pass and the fear that you have of the government. And what I want to tell you tonight is you are the government. You here sitting in this room are the government. You are the citizens. You are the country. And if you think that things are not going right, then get up out of your chairs and work on it. And don't just come and try to do a referendum by mob action to get people to do something else.
Thank you, ma'am. Next up is Ray Rankin. Paula Berardi is on deck. Stephen Cooper's in hold. Do I have Ray Rankin? Ray Rankin? Okay, I guess Mr. Rankin's not speaking. Paula Berardi. They may be outside. Paula? Yep. Oh, Mr. Rankin? Are you Mr. Rankin? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Board of Supervisors. My name is Paula Berardi, and I live at 555 Beaver Pond Ridge in Troy in the Palmyra District. We are all familiar with the common definition of tyranny, the use of arbitrary, capricious, unreasonable, and despotic behavior to exert control over people. There is, however, another type of tyranny, a tyranny of violence against women. I know about that. In the United States, every 29 seconds, a woman is assaulted. Every 2.5 minutes, a woman is sexually assaulted. Every 5 minutes, a woman is raped. And every 30 minutes, a woman is murdered. In almost all instances, a woman is unable to defend herself. Today, more and more women are choosing to take a stand and learn to defend themselves against this epidemic of violence. Please help us. Please stand with us. Please support the Second Amendment Sanctuary Resolution. Please help protect women. May God bless the state of Virginia, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Stephen Cooper. Stephen. Next up after Stephen will be Jeffrey Potter. Michelle Painter, you're in the hold.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things I could, which one of these?
This one. Yep.
There are a lot of things I could say, much of which has already been said tonight. I would like to address some of the issues that opponents of the Second Amendment have said within the last 2 minutes.
Please hold it closer. Okay. Please hold it closer.
First off, let's just talk about personal responsibility. It comes down to every person in a free country to defend themselves, to defend their liberties. If we're disarmed, it makes it much more difficult to do. Founding Fathers never intended for the government to be responsible for our safety. The government has proven time and again it cannot be responsible for our safety. The police show up only in time to clean up a murder or to help a rape victim, maybe if they haven't been murdered. They rarely show up in time to prevent a problem. An armed society is a free society. In instances of mass shootings, I think the shooters would think twice if they knew they were walking into a mall with 1,000 armed citizens ready to put them down. I'm sorry, I don't even know. This is an emotional topic for me. I myself am legally blind. Thankfully, in this state so far, I've been permitted to have a concealed carry permit. I have no doubt that in a confrontational range that I can defend myself or people close to me. I have been carrying a firearm since I was 21, and I've slept better ever since. I feel more free to go out into public places or unfamiliar places because I am armed and because I can defend myself. And I choose not to go into gun-free zones because I don't want to be dependent on somebody else to protect me. I ask that you would please, well, before I finish, also going back to the government protecting us, the way they're supposed to protect us is by punishing criminals. Red flag laws, mental health laws, preventing felons from having firearms doesn't fix anything. If a person is too dangerous to be out on the street, they need to not be on the street. If somebody's too dangerous to have a firearm, then they need to remain in prison or be executed for whatever they've done. That's all I'm going to say. Just, I ask that you would please uphold the Constitution and make this a sanctuary county. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Jeffrey Potter. Michelle Painter's on deck, Cat Campbell's in the hole.
Thank you. Just wanted to thank the board for letting me speak tonight. I'm gonna tell a little story about a little while ago when it was about 10 till midnight, and I'm in my house. Oh, by the way, I live 474 Covered Bridge Road in Kent Store. And I woke up to a few bangs, pretty loud bangs actually. Didn't know what it was, looked out my window and saw my neighbor going down the driveway, chasing whatever had happened. Come to find out that somebody decided to shoot deer out of the yard. So if that had been something different, I mean, I have kids, I have young kids. If that had been something different, what would I have done? My neighbor, which everybody on the board knows, came back and said, I didn't have the gun, didn't have my phone, didn't have my radio. I don't know what I'd have done if I'd have caught him. So, he, and I thank you for that, Mr. Chairman. So, I do like to say something about this term that gets thrown about. It's regulated in the Second Amendment. Regulation is like a timepiece. It's not law. It means working in great unison. I hear that bannered about all the time, and that's not what it means. And so tonight, we're asking you to stand up for us. We're a country people. We all have each other's backs. My neighbor has my back. I have everybody else's back when we go out on calls. And I want the board to have our backs on this and tell Richmond that there is a difference between living in the city where 10 cops would have shown up in 5 minutes and living in the country where we have to do it ourselves. And Sheriff Hess and his team are awesome, but they can't be everywhere. And we have to have that capability to protect ourselves. So I know it's symbolic, but please have our backs on this board and let Richmond know that there is a difference between living in Richmond, living in the city, and living in the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Michelle Painter's up. Chad Campbell's on deck. Dwayne Hogue is in the hole.
Michelle Painter for Golden Square, Palmyra. Good evening. I stand before you as the minority. I am a 24-year-old female and a teacher. I have a master's degree and have chosen to come back into Grant County, the hometown that I grew up in and I love, to teach future generations because of the great education that I received here. While I am a minority on several counts, I speak here for the majority. I am in support of the Second Amendment Sanctuary County. While being raised here in Fernanda County, I was raised to fire a gun for protection. I am proud to know how to use a gun and will to if I need to. And I will do if I need to. If these laws are passed, I as a female of my stature would not be able to use the gun that I am comfortable with and have practiced with. I respect the police and I am so grateful for them. but they can't always be there. Just a few weeks ago, parked in my driveway at my house, located in Lake Monticello, my 2018 Ford Runner was spray painted with a phallic symbol. To this day, perpetrators have not been caught, yet I am expected to not have a gun that I'm comfortable protecting myself with and count on the police all the time. Police can't be everywhere all the time, and bad things do happen. During a Virginia prison interview, just recently they asked the inmates what they thought about these laws. The inmates said that they liked the idea of these laws because their biggest threat was not the police, but a private citizen with a gun. I want to be a threat to those bad guys. Some of the biggest cities like Chicago have gun laws, and yet they have the highest crime. There are plenty of examples of these. I could go on and on. The point is that these laws don't stop the bad guys. They will only limit my ability to defend myself in a bad situation. I ask you to listen to we the people of Fagana County. I was told last week at this meeting that there were 360 people who were in favor and only 7 opposed. Please stand with your constituents and vote with the majority. Make Fagana County a Second Amendment sanctuary county. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Campbell. Next up, Ms. Kat Campbell. After that is Mr. Dwayne Ho.
I'm not much at waxing eloquence this song. Board, Sheriff S., citizens, fellow veterans. I think one thing we've left out of this whole thing, I'm in favor of everything that's going on here. My father was a state policeman for 35 years. I served in the United States Coast Guard. My family came to this country in 1610 by way of Jamestown. We have seen it all.
Mr. Hogue?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You need to address us.
Okay.
That's fine. Thank you.
Well, I got 3 minutes, right?
Yes, sir.
Two and a half. All right. Well, I'm going to use this time wisely. I would like to pray and thank Almighty God for our country and our rights in this country. And I'm going to take that 3 minutes, and I want to do that. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we just ask your blessings on our country, our state, our county, and our citizens. Whether they agree or disagree, Lord, we are all your children. And we know you love us, and we, in turn, love you back. Lord, Father God, you say in your word that if my people will turn from their wicked ways, you will heal their nation. But Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to heal America, Virginia. And we just thank you, Lord, for each and every person here that has come out tonight in all of the states, in all of the counties, in all of the states, Lord. We ask that you continue to watch over us. And I pray, Lord, that those here will take a moment tonight and thank you for your blessings upon us. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Board of Supervisors, for your dedication and contributions to this county and for having receptive ears and hearing out your constituents' concerns and requests. The Second Amendment provision ordinance you guys have before you does not present a conflict of any kind and should be easily voted in favor of if you are an American. This ordinance is simple and makes a clear statement to those in leadership positions in our state to know that no attempt to reduce or minimize our constitutional rights is acceptable. This right to keep and bear arms protects all other rights. History will repeat itself if we become an unarmed nation, and any inch of ground given up is taking us towards the kind of history no one would want to repeat. We will be to blame for the state of this nation in future generations if we don't protect our rights in this generation. Ronald Reagan stated, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We get to pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. This is your opportunity, members of the board, to fight for freedom. Gun control bills have been proven time after time to have no positive effect. In fact, it is quite the opposite. Cities in our nation with the strictest gun laws and bans are highest in gun-related crimes.
If you stand on a platform of trying to protect people from harm, the choice is very simple, and you will vote in favor of this resolution because it stands on the premise that we will continue to be granted the same rights to protect and defend ourselves by keeping and bearing arms. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper stated, if violent crime is to be curbed, it is only the intended victim who can do it. The felon does not fear the police, and he fears neither judge nor jury. Therefore, what he must be taught to fear is his victim. This touches on our rights for protection of oneself and one's family, which were very much a reason for having this right, but the Constitution, more importantly, included this because they knew this right protected all other rights. Lose this right, and others will be challenged and lost as well. Many of us, really probably most of us in this room, will be considered felons next year if and when these laws are passed. I hardly think that it is reasonable to think that making felons out of all of us makes the state a safer place. People who have evil intentions will continue to break the law and won't mind any new laws. People who follow the law should not be kept from their rights. Our rights are not negotiable. We will not comply. To everyone in here, I hope a fire has been lit in your souls and that you will not pass on the opportunity to vote in the next and every election from here on out, big or small, and encourage others to do the same. There is no excuse not to get out and vote, and any excuse is an admission of submission. To the supervisors, please vote in favor of this ordinance and make a stand locally on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you. To be heard. We asked you to fill out papers. We are now at the end of our papers. Is there anyone else that wanted to speak at this time? Come forward if you'd like. When you step to the podium, please remember to state your name and address, please.
We'll do it. My name is Michael Pickwo, 3310 Rolling Road, South Scottsville. My grandfather came over from Russia in 1917, middle of the Bolshevik Revolution in World War I. He instilled in me that this was the greatest country in the world. I had three of his children, my uncles, all fought in World War II. They all came home. But he told me repeatedly, we do not fight up. Stand up for our rights as a citizen of this country, Stalin will win. Stalin was the greatest persecutor of free people in the whole world. He was worse than Hitler. And I'm asking you to not allow that to happen in this county. And I've also been a victim of gun abuse. I've been shot three times. It hurts. It hurts. But I've also called a guy that was raping a girl and stuck a shotgun to his head. He got 8.5 years in jail. I called a young man breaking in my parents' house. I stuck a gun to his head and I gave him two options. He chose the second one and walked out. He shot me later. I'm just telling you, it hurts. But I had the opportunity to use a gun to defend my grandmother's house and my parents' house. And I remember what my grandfather always told me. If you don't fight for your rights, Stalin will win. And all I can say is thank God in the country that's free, and God bless America.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Daniel Nelson. I'm 31. I live on 1860 Haymark Road. I have a natural fear of public speaking, so here I am. Sorry. Also, my poor appearance, I had to rush here straight from work. I, like probably some of the people in here, have always been ignorant of politics, didn't pay much attention, didn't vote, and like the lady said, the fire's been lit, and I'm here, and I plan to start attending. And I'm for the sanctuary. I've been brought up around weapons my entire life. Always taught trigger safety, barrel safety, taking every course I can. And it's just ridiculous that I can become a felon so easily. I've done everything legally like I'm supposed to. But I'm going to go ahead and stand down because, like I said, I have a fear of being up here. So, God bless you.
Thank you.
Parkway, specialist, United States Army, served 5 years, was sent, given the opportunity to go to Iraq, defend our Constitution, defend our country. Y'all's government chose me and trained me to be as good as I can, to be the best that we could be. And still today, as a PTSD veteran, we still use those same techniques and ethics to help my fellow brothers with the same disabilities I have. And now let's consider the militia groups learning together when we're just sharpening the skills that we already have. We all took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic. That oath doesn't end just because our time of service is over. That oath doesn't end until one of us is put into the ground, and we all stand and live by that. There's more veterans in America than there is active duty soldiers, Marines, Air Force, and so forth. If this country ever did get attacked, you got more veterans who are gonna fight than you got military that's gonna fight. That's just my piece on it, to let them know where veterans are standing on this. Y'all instilled us the technique and skills to, you know, fight for this country. And now y'all want to take those same rights away that we defended. I disagree. We were given this opportunity to do what we could do because we were as good as we were. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Ford, fellow citizens. My name is John Poyman. I'm with the Southern Miner and Chief Palmyra at Lake Monticello. With a hold of my hand right here, if your eyes are not covered, you'll recognize this is tyranny. This is a wish list of a tyranny that we have seen before. I ask you guys to take the list and scale it off our eyes and look at this. This is a wish list. The first step, this is a wish list. I've served in foreign countries where many people had their arms taken away, and I've seen tyranny firsthand. I know what it looks like. And this is tyranny. I ask for you to vote, make Savannah County a sanctuary, a Second Amendment sanctuary county, along with many other counties here in the state of Virginia. So thank you very much. Have a good evening.
My name is Bill Blanchetti. I live at 1067 Fox Hollow Lane in Palmyra. I want to thank the Board of Supervisors for taking time again to hear the requests of the citizens of this county. I had the luxury of being here last week for the board meeting, and I also got a glimpse into what the board does. And I listened to the board last week with a swipe of a pen, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of the citizens of this county on new school buses, which we need, and other associated items. I have a modest proposal for you all. It will not cost the county one red cent. You simply just need to vote on this resolution and let our voices be heard. Now, this entire room, three people came up here and voiced and opposing you, which is wonderful. That's democracy and a constitutional republic at work. I did find it funny though that one of them said this was a mob and it was orchestrated. This is grassroots people, groundswell, showing up to voice their opinion. Nothing more, nothing less. They had the courtesy of being able to speak their piece with no fear of retribution, and that's the beauty of this country. So I ask you all again, please unanimously vote to pass this resolution, because we, the taxpayers of this county, are watching. God bless America. Thank you.
Seeing no one else, whoop. Angelo.
Anthony Olson, and I live at 656 Justin Drive. And I'm in a weird position because I'm actually part of a bit of a minority here because I'm very liberal. However, that being said, I don't think that this is at all a partisan issue. Constitutional rights, both in our federal constitution and the state constitution, are there to protect all of us. It doesn't matter what political affiliation you're with. When it comes to whether this is an organized event where, you know, we're targeted, I can guarantee you, I'm part of like every social group that would not be targeted to be at this event. To speak in opposition of this. And it's really important that, you know, one of the other rights that we enjoy as Americans is our right to assemble and petition our government. And that is very much what we'd like to do here tonight. So even though I'm probably part of a political minority in this group, I'm very much a supporter of this initiative. Thank you.
When we moved, we had 6 bullet holes in our house. 6 out of page 10. I've lived in Virginia for the past 7 years and I've had 0 bullet holes in my home. 0! I feel safer here with guns out of control and unrestricted, more safe every day here than I did in Illinois. I'm a concealed carry permit holder and I'm proud of it. I'm proud to be a Virginian. Please vote to keep our rights. Thank you.
Seeing no one else with the hand up or approaching the microphone, I'll now close our first round of public comments. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll now move forward with new business. A, resolution to designate Blue Banner County as Second Amendment Sanctuary County. Anyone has any questions or anything you'd like to say?
It was about 6 years ago that I sat over there when we're talking about shutting down our schools. And I listened to 60 people stand up and say what they felt was true in their heart and was right. And I sat across from some of the same members that are here right now, Mr. Weaver and Mrs. Roper. And I had preconceived notions of who and what they were and what their opinions were. And at the end of that particular day, they ended up voting not in the same way that the rules asked them to vote. I ran, got on the board, and what I learned is that there's a deliberative process that happens, and that deliberative process is our democracy. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in its amendments. I believe in the Bill of Rights. I believe in its entirety. I don't just pick one of them. And I also believe that what makes our government work well is that we support and obey our laws, and that we believe in the process that allows our laws to be challenged and to be viewed by the courts and to be viewed by the voters. So it's hard for me to say, okay, I want to take the Second Amendment and put it above everything else that is in the Constitution. The first part of the Constitution, the majority of the articles refer to how do we govern. But if we choose our laws just as the way we wish, then we're not governing. We have to govern. I believe in the process where the ballot takes your power and gives it to your representative to make their decisions. You're asking me in the Second Amendment section to take that power away from those people that were elected to do that by sending, granted, a symbolic message. But is it not equally symbolic to say, don't even bother because we won't listen to you? We listen to you at night. And I appreciate it. And I learned a lot in the last 2 sessions about guns and the importance of guns to the individual. And I respect that. I feel a lot better knowing that you guys are all out of here. But I can't vote to make Nevada County a second sanctuary. Not because I don't believe in the Second Amendment, but because I believe in all the amendments and I believe in the Constitution.
Vote, ladies and gentlemen, this is our turn right now. Ma'am? This is our turn to deliberate amongst ourselves. We had about 3.5 hours of public comment. I'm not trying to cut you off, but if you wish to speak, you can speak at the end of the second round of public comment.
My name is Tony O'Brien.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, anybody else want to say anything?
Well, I'm a veteran. I'm proud of it. Served in Germany several years. I saw what happened over there, the country back in the 50s, the destruction, the Holocaust. That was because they could not defend themselves. I certainly will be supporting the Second Amendment.
Gentlemen, I will ask you to refrain from comments, or I will have to ask the police to have you removed. Okay? And I'm not trying to be heavy-handed, but we need to get our business done.
I will be taking my fourth oath before I become my last board, hopefully my last 4 years on board. And that oath will say, I will solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge all the duties incumbent upon me as supervisor according to the best of my ability, so help me God. This is my fourth term. I've sat on the stage a couple of times with issues. When we met on Wednesday, I took notes from everybody who spoke. And when I left, I said, I have some work to do. I need to do some study. I contacted the Thomas Jefferson deputy who is our legislative, he does legislative services for us. And I asked him three things. I want you to send me the proposed bills. Mind you, these bills are not presented by Democrats only. Half of them are presented by Republicans as well. He sent the bills. We could look at them. We could see an explanation behind them. I also asked him to send me the red flag. He sent that to me, and he said, that's when family or neighbors feel that there's someone can harm themselves, and they may have weapons. They have to go before the judge. Now, I also looked at other red flag states, and some of them, they can go directly to the police and report. But most of them would have to go before the judge. After I looked at them, and then I began to get other emails. I got tons of emails from people who oppose this our voting. They're not here. There was, and I can't explain it, but it was fear and feeling of being intimidated. I'm sorry. But I got some emails as well. I am not voting because there's a ton of people on either other side. I'm going to vote on the facts. And I have looked at all the 8 governor's proposals that he has put forth, and I have listened, and you have said things like the governor is trying to change the Constitution. I don't think he knew that. You have also said, I can't take my child or my grandchild out to teach them how to hunt. I don't see a bill in there that keeps you from doing that. I have a grandson that's 16 whose grandfather left him a ton of guns. He was a collector. He is antiques. Some of those laws are going to, if they're passed, and we're going to get additional bills coming through. These are just a few. But some of those bills governs how he can get rid of, if he wants to, take those weapons and get money so that he can go to college. I see, I've heard you say, I will be a felon tomorrow. I think that most of those, I looked them up, it's the level of a felon is 6. But you know, you don't become a felon overnight. I have had tons of opportunities to sit in courtrooms. I've had friends and family who are felons. And they didn't get a felon overnight. Sometimes it took 2 years because that's how supposed the support system works. Then I heard the third speaker on Wednesday came up and he said, to me, I know you most, Ms. Booker, but let me tell you about the slaves that used to knew how to handle a sword and they would teach other people, they took them from them. So that perked my mind. So wait a minute. Let me go back and look at the history of gun control. These are the papers I found. Gun control started keeping guns out of black hands. Let me speak. If you don't want to hear it, go Google it for yourself. Nothing in these proposed bills that will take your guns from you and restrict you from having guns. In fact, they're looking at whatever you have, you can keep. Nobody's going in to take your guns away from you. There's one law in there where, for example, if you get a restraining order from the courts, if it's your wife or your husband, the judge will ask them if they have any weapons, they will go and get those weapons. That's another one. A universal background check. I know, I understand that law-abiding individuals are burdened with laws to try to get other people to follow the law. I understand that. But if I have to wait 5 days to get a weapon because they have to go through a background check, if that's going to help me save the lives of maybe some of these children in this school or wherever, I'm willing to wait. You say you are law-abiding citizens, and I believe it. And these people who are putting forth these bills, they too are law-abiding citizens. You can't tell me Governor Northam don't have a gun or a shotgun. You can't tell me that he doesn't go hunting. You can't tell me that every delegate and senator who are putting forth these bills don't have guns. Why would they want to take the guns away from themselves? You may have, everybody's going to, a lot of you in here, and I know all of you are going to have different opinions, and you may think differently about what I'm saying. But I have listened, I have copied down what you are afraid of, or what you think is going to happen. And probably it happened in the 1800s, but it didn't happen to you. Guns were taken from people, but they weren't used. So I have a different history than what you have. So I will not vote for this resolution because if all of you all would take your rights and go down, I kind of resent the fact that I have to be put in this position. Look at all of you in this room.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And you can appeal. If these bills become laws and you don't like them, you can appeal. When they get ready to look at these, when these bills start going around, they will go into committees. Half of them will probably get knocked out of committee and won't even make it to the floor. You follow these laws. And when you see them going in a direction that you don't like, then all of you get in your cars and go to Richmond and stand up in Richmond. I am not voting because there are 500 people for or people against or vice versa. I am not voting because 50 other counties stood up for it. I'm voting because Moselle Booker has studied. I spent 7 days analyzing and making sure that what I am doing is from my heart. And when I stand up to take my, when Tricia Treadway, I'm hopefully she, the clerk of the court, when she tell me my oath and I raise my hand, I want to be able to know that I am standing up for the Constitution of the United States and for American life. And if you don't agree with me, that's all right. But I cannot stand up there and take an oath and go with this resolution.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Eager? Ms. Eager?
But I support the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Second Amendment. And I don't believe that the state has the right to challenge our founding fathers and our Constitution. So I'd like to make a motion.
I want to speak first.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ms. Eager.
Mr. Chairman, it's not out of order for Ms. Eager to make the motion.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Eager. You can make a motion.
Thank you. I move Board of Supervisors approve a resolution entitled Resolution Declaring Fluvanna County, Virginia a Second Amendment Sanctuary.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard my neighbor get up here and eloquently talk about how we met down here on the street that day at midnight because somebody was not being a proper gun owner. And it scared the daylights out of both of us because he had two young daughters and I have two sons. And they were shooting within less than 100 yards of both of our houses. What he did not tell you is the first time I met him. I lived in Goochland for a few years. My wife worked in Richmond, I worked in Fluvanna, and she said, let's buy a house. And he said, okay. So we went and bought a house. She said, we're gonna buy one halfway. Bought one in Goochland. A month later, she quit her job. And I just got to drive an extra 10 minutes every day. In 2005, we were lucky enough to build a house in Kinstall. Moved back on land my parents had given me. Built the house right across from my grandparents. Mr. Potter lives in my grandparents' old house. While the house was being built, I worked long hours. Some of y'all know that. So one night, about dark, we went riding up there to go see what it looks like. You know how it is when you're building a house. You're excited. We're sitting up there, man, we're walking around. Oh, man, this is great. Oh, my God. You got the foundations laid. Oh, it's awesome. At that point in time, people in Fluvanna were having stuff disappear from home sites. Next thing I know, I hear a four-wheeler cranked up. Man, who's this? Guy rides up the driveway. I'm not sure what it was strapped to his side, but he caught my attention real quick. He said, what are you doing here? Frankie asked me to watch his place, and Frankie's my brother. I said, well, my name's Mike. It's going to be my place. It's nice to meet you. And that's how we met. I had a neighbor willing to put himself at risk to come make sure that what I had was okay. And we have a lot of people in Fluvanna that are willing to do that. You know, I've been teaching for 33 years. I consider it the greatest profession you can be in. No offense to anybody else. But we get to deal with the young people. When I get to look out here and see some of my students sitting out in the audience, and when I get to hear some of them come speak, doesn't matter to me which side you're speaking on. You stood up there and you were eloquent. You did a great job. Our number one job is not teaching the kids, folks, is keeping them safe. And I hope that it never comes to it, but I hope that I'll have enough courage to do whatever it takes to keep them safe. Been working on the fire department for about a long daggone time. And we have people in the county that are volunteers that risk their life every time they go on a call. Back in 1981, we lost two of them in Kinstall when a truck rolled over. They were friends. And there is no doubt this is a hot button topic. One of the things I've enjoyed in my 6 years on the board is our ability to disagree But we all know that each other's hearts are in the right spot, and we're trying to do things for the betterment of our county. I am so proud of the behavior tonight. Some folks might say that this is an uncontrolled mob. Yes, I had to say some things a couple times. I apologize for raising my voice, but it's my job to keep the order. And I wanted to make sure that every voice is heard, because the Constitution means something to me. Unlike you, Mr. Weaver, that's one regret I have in my life, is that I never served in the military. Thank you to all y'all that have. And, you know, listening to them talk, I believe they're right when they say they'd stand up defending the country today. And the worst thing that can happen is us being invaded by somebody. And we'd all be standing there beside each other, except we wouldn't be wearing blaze orange, I hope. Make it kind of easy for them to find us. And you're right. What we do tonight doesn't carry a whole lot of weight. It just kind of sends a message to the people that we're trying to send a message to. That we appreciate the Constitution. We just, you know, sometimes we had to do things that come with tails and they have unintended consequences. And unintended consequences to come after those that are people that are law-abiding citizens. Once again, before I be quiet, I want to say thank you for your behavior tonight. Anybody that says this was an out-of-control mob. Oh, and I have one last question with the courtesy of the board. I forgot to ask this earlier tonight. I was going to ask this. If you are not a citizen of Fluvanna County, and this is nothing against you, but I want to get a picture of who actually is from, because there's been a lot of things said that people don't live in Fluvanna. Will you raise your hand if you're not from Fluvanna? Thank you. Folks, this group is from Fluvanna. Well, please don't be afraid. Anyway, I don't think so, not in this room. I think you got reasons to feel safe when you're in this room with all those folks that stood up. All right, do I have a second?
Yeah, I second.
Okay, we have a motion made by Ms. Seeger, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 3-2. Please keep it down until you get out the doors. But we're going to give y'all a chance to exit the building. Somebody hit the fire alarm. I couldn't help them. Hey. came to my life. He just, Tony said he'd get me. Hey, I hope you drive a dead car there. All right. Get your attention. We'll try to pick this up where we left off. See if we can't get out of here.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know whether you've heard me before, whether it's clear. I understood that Mrs. Eder's motion was to adopt the resolution.
The resolution presented to board.
That's
what, yes. I voted for.
Yeah.
I don't have any objection. I just want it to go down and I did not vote. I want that to be in the minutes.
I understood. I understood the record to be.
Okay. You were very clear. Yeah. All right.
Three in favor, two.
Three to play two. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's Derek over there when he moved it next to the computer. Don't do that again. To my left. All righty, ladies and gentlemen. I will now open the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board, please keep your comments to 3 minutes direct on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone who wishes to speak at this time? Mr. Arnold, I see you making your way to the... Hey, we get the podium. It's not the witness chair tonight.
Thank you. Mike Long, 109 Jefferson Drive. I do not have prepared comments, but this second round of public speaking is for the following purpose. Whether I'm for or against the resolution that just passed is fine. It's immaterial to my comments. To the dissenting views, one I thought was very well reasoned on logic. The other one was very passionate, and I encourage both of those, but I do have a message. If you feel that you resent being put in this position by your constituents, then I would suggest you resign.
Officer, will you close those doors, please? Not locking anybody out. They're talking, and I can't hear you. Mr. Orsolini?
Uh-oh, he knows me by name.
I've been working with you for a while.
Yeah, just a little bit. My name is Joe Orsolini. I live at 24 Seminole Trail. I wasn't going to come up here and speak tonight originally. I think a lot of people put it a lot better than I ever could. I'm for the resolution. I wanted to address a few things that I heard, though. Was the Second Amendment founded to disarm slaves and stop slave rebellion? Maybe. I don't know enough about the topic. Was that a mistake? Absolutely. I think it's important to note that the laws that are being presented right now, that are being proposed in the legislature, disarm the black community as much as the white community, disarms the Hispanic community as much as any other community. They're equally discriminatory. I'm not for disarming anybody. I think that African Americans have the same rights as whites and Hispanics and everybody else have to defend themselves. It's important. Why start to repeat some of the past? To say that Governor Northam owns guns and the legislature owns guns, the senators own guns, why would they pass laws to disarm themselves? Well, we just went through an election a month and a half ago. The vast majority of them ran solely on this fact. They said they don't own guns, they don't want anybody else to own guns. Does Governor Northam own guns? I don't know, I don't go into his house. I'd speculate that he probably doesn't. They're not going to disarm themselves, no, I think they would. They ran on it. The laws that are being presented are simple. It's the cities thinking that they can tell the counties in the rural areas, we know what's best for you. We got this. You can just settle down, go back. God, I've been called so many names on social media. Redneck, hick, amosexual.
That's me. That's me.
It's, I'm not. I'm just a person who wants to defend my family, defend my friends, hunt, target shoot, make little holes and little pieces of paper from long distances away. That's it. Supervisor Booker, you're right, it's not over. It's only the beginning. We have a lot of fighting to do in the legislature. But I think that you mentioned that it's important that we go through the avenues to bring forth concerns and redress to our legislature. Well, you're our legislature. You're step one of our legislature. That's why we all came here tonight, to bring forth our grievances to our legislators. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to contact my legislators, Delegate Bell and Senator Pete. They've already heard from me several times. And I imagine they've heard from a lot of the people in here too. But to say that this is the wrong place, that we shouldn't be doing this, nah, it's the perfect place. This is step one. How many steps is going to be? I don't know. Maybe 30, maybe 5. But this was step one, and it was probably one of the most important steps we could have taken. Thank you.
Amen. Yep.
Anyone else? Mr. Bowles, I see you making your way in this direction. Sauntering on down.
That should be up there, Steve.
Yeah. Here we go.
Special thank you to the board. I am sorry that some of the other items, some of the other things that Cook County needs does not stir as much as this board for consideration. Would have one recommendation for the board. The next time that you have an issue as important as this, as important as the Constitution, or as important as educating our kids, or any other thing that you believe that there's going to be a large number of people, let's take the opportunity to use our $70 million new high school that all of us are paying for to house. Okay? Let's not try to force everybody in here and keep away the people who want to have an opportunity to express themselves. Thank you very much.
I was already up here and I had said pretty much everything I wanted to say, but I want to thank all y'all that voted for the resolution, because I've always wanted to go into the military, but I can't because I am a type 1 diabetic. But now I know that when I'm in my home, if anything bad were to happen, I can protect myself and my family. Thank you.
I honestly was going to keep my mouth shut.
Name and address, please.
Fred Nelson, 1860 Hayden Martin Road, Palmyra, Virginia. My son and my wife spoke earlier. First of all, thank all 5 council members. I appreciate it, and I'm going to particularly address the opposition. I disagree with you, of course, but there were well thought out, well spoken arguments against, and I think you have to say that. A little bit of shame in the crowd behind me, because when somebody did speak in opposition, how they act. We're Virginians. We believe in respecting each other. And I do want to make one little correction. The first gun control law was passed actually when they forbid handguns going into Congress, just so you know. This issue's been around for a long time. It will not go away. But I can tell you without a doubt, my study of history, and I'm not gonna discuss China, Russia, Germany, I'm gonna discuss this country. First step, evil men do, is to take the ability to defend yourself. You spoke about the African Americans being deprived of their weapons. Those weren't slaves. They were freemen. And afterwards, after the war, after everybody was free, they took their weapons again and annihilated a whole town of African Americans. You can't even find where that place was anymore. I tried. So I respect your beliefs and understand it. You may want to think a little bit more about it. how important it is that we stay free. By the way, in case you don't know, the second thing they take is the First Amendment. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dan Zim. I live at 350 Manor Boulevard, Elmira, Virginia. Two things. First of all, more restrictive gun laws do not necessarily mean that there will be less murders. Two states, Vermont and New Hampshire, do not require any permits to carry either open or concealed firearms. Their murder by guns, the death rate is half what ours is. Our laws are much more restrictive. The second thing is, don't make this something that it's not. This is not a racial issue. This is an issue among people, among Americans. And I very much resent anybody that tries to make it a racial issue. Thank you very much.
I spoke earlier, Mark David Poole, the second from 534 Rolling Road South. I want to thank all of you, even the opposition, because you did have well-reasoned arguments that I understand. We're not here to just focus on one part of the Constitution, and we are going to take this to Richmond, and we are going to build those proper channels as well. And respectfully, you have some errors on how what's going to happen with these laws if they pass. Some firearms would be have to be destroyed based on features, pistol grips, what have you. And if you'd like to learn more about guns, come up to the farm, come shoot with me. I'll tell you all you want to know. All right, thank you so much.
Henry Walters, 2387 Stellatus Ford Road, Palmyra. I'm a veteran. Know how to handle guns. I have guns. I have a concealed carry permit. I don't carry. I don't hunt. I used to hunt, but I don't have time anymore. But I have guns, and I taught my children, all girls, five of them, how to shoot rifles, handguns. They all have, I think all of them have concealed carry permits. I want them to be able to defend themselves. But that's not why I'm here tonight. There's two reasons. One of them is, the guns I have, I want to be able to give them to my son-in-law whenever I pass away. There's stories, and these are substantial stories, of people that had gun collections in states that allow you to give those guns away. I don't want that to happen here, that's why I'm here tonight. The second reason is, I think it's every American's responsibility to know how to handle a gun to protect my neighbors, protect this state, protect this country. And so it's responsibility that every man, woman, child should have to know how to handle the firearms so we can defend ourselves. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, see.
Mr. Chairman, Gary Floor, 725 Transco Road, Scottsdale. I apologize for not knowing everybody on the board or your support staff. Would it be inappropriate for you to introduce your staff from this side and let each representative introduce themselves on what district they represent?
We okay to that, Mr. Payne?
I'm Fred Payne, I'm the county attorney. I'm Eric Gall, I'm the Savannah County Administrator.
Patricia Eager, I represent the Palmyra District.
Don Waver, Cunningham District.
Marcel Booker, Fort Union.
Tony O'Brien.
Mike Sheridan, Columbia.
Thank you. I'm just concerned maybe I'm not the only one that didn't verify. Thank you for your service again, and I applaud the two who voted against my concerns because you spoke your opinion, you stood your ground, and you had your just causes, and I applaud
appreciate us living in a country where that's acceptable behavior.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your support.
Nobody gets driven down the street.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for bringing up the story now and then. Jeff Potter, again. Just wanted to say one thing, and I think we all realize, and thank you, Ms. Booker, Mr. O'Brien, for your dissent as well. One of the things that, real quick about firearms, is that some of the most communities that need to be defended are those marginalized communities. And it's not just race, but orientation and preference. Those communities deserve that same protection. We all do. And I think that sent a strong message. But Dr. Steger is also correct. It shouldn't take issues like this for all of us to become involved in the community. Like, I try personally to be involved and do things for the community in many different aspects. I'm going to have to add this too, because being involved and coming to board meetings and giving opinions, we've got to do that. We have to participate so they know our opinions and we can progress as a community. So I want everyone to be involved, not just on this Second Amendment issue that we all care about, but for all the issues like Dr. Steger pointed out. People who are underprivileged in the community, and we can step up and help. My wife spends a lot of time volunteering at the school to try to augment what we have in our school system. And I'm glad that we have the privilege to do that. But please, take this and move it to other aspects as well. Thank you.
Seeing no one else approaching the mic, I will now close the second round of public comment. I would like to just say one thing. I agree with Mr. Potter on this. It's awful nice listening to 600 people say the Pledge of Allegiance. I just tell you right now, I said this last week, guys. It has a different ring to it and a different volume to it when you hear them going one nation under God. Whoever you choose to believe in, but that means something. I'm sorry, Mr. O'Brien, you want to say something?
I just want to thank everybody who was here tonight. I know that passion drives democracy. As Mr. Sheridan just said, it's great to have people out here speaking their voice and wanting to be heard. I do want to just take one second to note that I've had the privilege of serving on the board with many of these members for many years. Ms. Booker's been on the 12th year, I think. And sometimes she doesn't speak as eloquently as some of us might want her to speak, but she always does it with great passion, and she does it with great consideration and great thought, as do all of the members on the board. So, I recognize that in the past, in the heat of the moment, we sometimes say things that aren't exactly appropriate. And I think, and I don't mean put words in your mouth, but when she said, I resent being here, I think what she was really trying to say is, this is not something I can solve for you and put me in a position where you're asking me to speak something that I really can't control. And I think that's what she was trying to say. On the other hand, I think it's also really important that we do hear what we have to say and we hear your passion. And even though we can't control it, and we can disagree on whether this is a slippery slope to gun control or whether this is a slippery slope to mob violence, or not mob violence, I'm sorry, to the tyranny of the mob, in the sense that, if it's only the people that are here with the loudest voices that get their vote, and not the ones that are quiet behind the scenes, and I have a whole lot of stack of letters here of people that did not agree with your position, then that's where our democracy fails. So this deliberative process is really important, and it's a foundation of democracy. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
I have one comment, and I thank you all for being here as well. And I think this is O'Brien. He has such a wonderful way of expressing very controversial things. And he certainly did describe my frustration. I'm not resigning. I've been 12 years. My husband spent 16 years on this board. I have 4 more years, and if God give me the strength, the breath, and the mind, I will continue to serve this county as I have done in the last 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
just a group, just a couple updates here, just really quick. So December 18th, we have a budget work session for nonprofits at 4 p.m. December 18th at 7 p.m. is our regular meeting. January 8th at 4 p.m. is a regular meeting. It's the organizational meeting for the board. The board will nominate a new chair and vice chair. Wednesday, January 22nd, we also have a 4 p.m. Budget work session for nonprofits. That's kind of the second half of getting all the nonprofits for budget season. And then also on January 22nd, we'll have a 7 p.m. regular meeting as well. So that's kind of your schedule coming up. I think, Mr. Sheridan, you're not
here. I was just getting ready to inform my neighbor that if he'll keep an eye on my place. Monday will be my... Hard to believe that a woman has put up with me for 30 years. Thank God for being here.
Can you explain what the budget work session for the nonprofit presentation is
okay.
all about?
What they're referring to, guys, is the nonprofits will come and present to us trying to say, here's what you've given us and here's what we may need. It's just a presentation where they come and tell us so we can prepare for budget season.
So you give funding to some of the nonprofits around
us? We do.
Yeah. So how would you present your nonprofit for funding?
That's something that they come and give us. They have it. You can come to the meeting. You can come sit down and listen. And they will be there presenting to us. It is just not a back and forth. It's just them presenting what they would like.
Okay, I've got one question.
Matt.
Sorry.
I tell you what. Any questions, and this is going to be the easiest way to handle this, folks. If you contact the county offices, they're glad to answer these questions. Our meetings are always open. I said something about the Pledge of Allegiance sounding differently. It's enjoyable to have people participating in government. It is. I mean, and it is your absolute right. And if you ever see one of us, well, I don't speak for everybody, I'll speak for me. Now, if you ever see me at EW's, and I'm there quite often, stop, say hello, ask a question. But
I just have
one quick question.
The reason that I'm asking this is because most people work till 5. Why can't we do the meetings at 6 and on instead of hearing about this afterwards?
We have our organization. I can answer this one hopefully quickly, and Fred, you tell me if I'm holding up about it. The organizational meeting, we will decide when we have our meetings. The staff is required to stay. We have one meeting at 4 o'clock that starts at 4. We have our task the first Wednesday of every month. People thought we moved it. We did not move it. It's 4 o'clock on the first Wednesday of every month. Now, if there's a special occasion like the New Year's, we're going to move it today. We'll have it on the second. The second meeting always starts at 7 o'clock. And sometimes we will start work sessions so that we can... We're here quite often. We get the big bucks. They do feed us real good at times. Okay? So we'll start that meeting at 4 o'clock. Mr. O'Brien will start that meeting at 4 o'clock. And they will recess at 6 o'clock. And then we will sit down and eat. And then we'll come back at 7 o'clock. So sometimes we're here for 5-6 hours. So that's why it kind of starts at 4 o'clock sometimes. But it's always the first meeting of the month starts at 4 o'clock. The second meeting of the month starts at 7. Now, we might decide to change that at our organizational meeting. I can't tell you how long it's been that way. Been that way a long time. I know a lot of people.
You used to start it.
Ms. Booker's been here longer than I have. Mr. Weaver, he just got here. You know, that is another good thing about this, is that we can sit here and... You know, anyway, it's nice to be able to sit here and cordially get along. All right, we have a motion made to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yes. We have a second. Motion made by Ms. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We are now adjourned.